standards that Yahweh had installed. And as a result, God had to intervene on their behalf. And he had to intervene on our behalf. You see, the sin in man had to be atoned for. And a sacrifice worthy of God's holiness was needed. So even though the people of God had broken the covenant that he made with them, he made a new one, or he promised a new one. We serve a God that is faithful. The new covenant that he was going to make would go above and beyond the original covenant. You see, the original covenant required the sacrifice of animals, but it never removed sin. It only removed guilt for sin. And it only removed the guilt for sin for that one person and possibly his family. And it only removed the guilt for sin for that one person and his family for a short time. So it's an ongoing cycle. The sacrifice of animals was a reminder of their sin, of their guilt for sin. But the new covenant would cover all sin for all time, for all people. One sacrifice for those that believe. This passage that Jeff just read in Jeremiah is both a promise and a prophecy. It's a promise of God's faithfulness. It's a promise that he said, even though you have failed, even though you have not been the people that I've asked you to be, I'm still your God. And I'm still going to meet you where you are. And it's a prophecy of the coming sacrifice that certainly, I don't even think the prophet Jeremiah knew exactly what that would be. God's justice still required a sacrifice. You see, his hatred of sin mandates a sacrifice. But this time, the sacrifice would be one that God himself would provide. And just like he provided a sacrifice for Abraham, except this time, God would not stop the hand that would take the son. This time, no ram, no bull or goat would complete the work of redeeming a lost people.
To pardon. to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. It's shame His glory forever I'll share. Sing it, church. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down, and I will sing to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
If you would pull out that paper that was handed out to you by the ushers this morning, we'll do a responsive reading of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. For since the law has but a shadow of the good things to come, instead of the true form of these realities, it can never, by the same sacrifices that are continually offered every year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered, since the worshipers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have any consciousness of sins. But in these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is impossible for the blood of the bulls and goats to take away sin. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, when he said above, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings. These are offered according to the law. Then he added, behold, I have come to do your will. He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemy should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us, for after saying, then he adds, where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin.
I love verse 9. He does away with the first in order to establish the second. Jeremiah 31 says, is the doing away with of the first. And Hebrews tells us that Christ's sacrifice was the establishment of the second. It's such a powerful moment to come to that understanding. You see, Jesus' sacrifice nullified the first covenant, which was not able to remove sin. And he establishes a second covenant which does remove sin. But the second covenant goes further than just removing sin. You see, not only could the first covenant not remove sin, neither could those sacrifices make perfect those who offered them. That's an important distinction, that making perfect. It's a turn of phrase that I hope we can grasp here in this moment. Because when Jesus died in our place and he sent us the Holy Spirit, he sent us that Holy Spirit to make us perfect, to ready us for him. Did you catch that? Before that, the people had only the law. But Jesus' sacrifice covered all sins for all people. And then he left us with his Holy Spirit to guide us. God said he would put their law in their hearts. That is the Holy Spirit. That sacrifice made available the Holy Spirit. When Jesus died and he sent the Holy Spirit, he made it possible for us to be perfected. As a result of Jesus' great sacrifice, Hebrews says that for those being sanctified, that God will remember their lawless deeds no more. And thanks to Jesus' ultimate gift, we no longer need to make offering for sin. God has provided the offering. God did not stay the hand that took the life of his only son. Let us reflect on that offering as we sing this song.
My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning?
Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them.
To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame.
Love so amazing.
Dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me, and they have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them. For my clothing they cast lots.
Love so amazing.
When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.
First line, and when the hour had come,
It's not just a passing statement. Jeremiah promised this hour. Jeremiah prophesied this hour. Jeremiah knew a sacrifice was coming. And God moved in people. And he moved in religion. And he moved in politics. And he moved in time in order to align everything in his perfect knowledge to this hour. This hour. And Jesus knew the hour. And in that miraculous moment, he sat down at the table with his faithful and at least one unfaithful. And he expressed his heart's joy in this statement: I have earnestly desired this moment. Do you get that? He knows he's going to die, but he's been looking forward to this moment for all of his earthly life. And before that, when he and the Father put this plan together, why on earth would he desire this moment? Because he knew that this was the moment that God had been working toward for centuries. This was the moment that God would offer his greatest expression of joy and his greatest expression of love to a people that had rejected and will continue to reject him. And he would do this, that God would do this for his purposes. The knowledge of the importance of this hour, of this moment, overrode the agonizing thought that he would soon suffer greatly. Jesus tells us that there is a coming banquet, and that at that banquet, along with Jesus, that we will once again take part in this supper with our Lord. Until that day, Jesus tells us in Luke that he abstains from the meal. But he offers it to us to do it as often as we come together. Until that day when we are all together again. We break this bread and we drink this cup in remembrance of Jesus. In remembrance of the fact that bulls and goats are no longer needed. In remembrance of the perfecting and the sanctification now available to us. In remembrance of the God who loves us, Yahweh God, the one and only true God who loves us, and he will not quit on us, because he could have done that a long time ago. Even when we have quit on us, even when others have quit on us, our Lord will not quit on us. Amen. In remembrance of his loving sacrifice and his loving kindness and his faithfulness, and in remembrance of that great cost, when we take part at the Lord's table, let us recall the great price that he paid for the new covenant in his own blood. A price he paid because he loves us, not because he owes us. Let us drink this cup of the new covenant in unity as one body, one church, under Jesus, our Lord and Savior. In unity with ourselves, with our Lord, and with each other. Please use this time to prepare your hearts for the Lord's table. We're going to begin to move into communion. And this time, as we go through the prayer, and we'll offer a moment of of silence after that. And Jackie will be singing a hymn. And many of us may not know this song. If we do, then please, I encourage you to sing along. It's not hard to learn pretty quickly. If you don't know the song, just reflect. Let the Holy Spirit work in your heart. Prepare your hearts for the Lord's table. And so if the ushers would come forward, let me give some quick instructions. This prayer that we're going to pray is a responsive prayer. So please pull your sheets out and be prepared for that. And just remember, reflect on the many that have gone before. We have here at Cross Point Chapel, this is not our table. This is the Lord's table. And it is for that reason that the only requirement for you to take part in the Lord's table is that you be a confessing believer in Jesus Christ. You do not have to be a member here. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you are saved, then please take part. We have in the trays as they come across, you'll see there's a brown bread and a white bread. If you have a gluten allergy or just don't like it for any reason, please help yourself to the white bread. That's gluten-free bread, and we offer that to help those. We don't want any reason for you to not take part in communion. And then one more thing, if you would, this is especially for our regulars, just hold the implements until we will all take the implements together. So just hold them in your hands, and we'll all take communion together. And after communion, immediately after communion for our regulars, we will receive tithes. And so go ahead and be prepared for that as well. That'll be a fairly standard procedure. But if you would, please, at this moment, please stand and we'll pray. We give thanks to you, God, through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent to us as Savior, Redeemer, and Messenger of your will, who is your inseparable word and through whom you made all, and in whom you were well pleased. It is Jesus who, fulfilling your word, will, and acquiring for you a holy people, extended his hands in suffering in order to liberate from suffering those who believe in you. It is Jesus who was delivered to voluntary suffering in order to dissolve death and break the chains of the devil, and tread down hell, and bring the just to light, and manifest the resurrection. And taking the bread and giving thanks, said this, "Take, eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you." Likewise, he took the chalice, saying, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. Whenever you do this, in remembrance of me." Therefore, you may be seated. Please, we're going to have a moment of silence. Just have a moment of silence. And when the music starts, then we will begin to pass out communion. So please just use this moment to reflect and prepare your heart for communion. 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 10, verses 16 through 17 says this: "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake in one bread. Church, there are only four things that the church needs. We need the book. We need the table. We need the bread. And we need the juice. This morning, we hold in our hands the bread and the cup. But you see, these are so much more than just bread and juice. Literally, that's what they are. But in God's kingdom, we're participating in the body and the blood of Christ. You see, this is our tangible connection to God's promise in Jeremiah and the fulfillment of that covenant in Luke. It's our tangible connection to the death of Jesus on the cross. It's our connection to the remission for our sins and the unity within Jesus Christ's church. It's our connection to the coming banquet in glory when we will all take part again with our Lord, who now abstains in waiting for that moment. Keith, Pastor Rob, Pete, church, this is the body of Christ broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ. Allie, Ben, Jim, Rich, church, this is the blood of Christ, the new covenant in his blood. Take and drink in remembrance of our Lord Jesus. And to take part at your table, Lord. And we offer, Lord, our gifts to you. We pray that you would receive them, Lord, and that they would be acceptable to you. I pray, Lord, that we would put these monies to, to the gospel work, Lord. That you would expand your kingdom through the generous giving of your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Invisible.
meekness and majesty, that the blood of Jesus was bled for me.
And to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. And all the church said, Amen.